Good morning. We're doing well. First weekend in January. 2018 is here. And before I share the message this morning, I'd just love to open in prayer. Father God, 2018 is before us. It's stretched out before us, and you know what it holds for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for everything that you have planned for us individually and corporately, Lord God, that you will see and we will see those things come to pass. Lord, help us to see what you see. Open our hearts right now. Open our eyes. Lord God, that we can be malleable and flexible to go where you lead us this year. And Lord, we give you thanks for all that this year holds. And I pray that as we get to the end of 2018, we will have come through to a place where we know you a little bit more, where we see your glory more, and that we can bring others along that journey. And so right now, Lord, as I share this word, I pray that it will go into good soil. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, yes, 2018 is here, and you might be sitting there and thinking, I'm excited. I'm excited for what this year is going to hold. Or you could be sitting there going, it's just another year. I was out with some friends on Friday night, and naturally, just because it's the beginning of a new year, the conversation started flowing about, what are your plans for 2018? Have you got any resolutions? And I listened to the responses around the table, and it was quite interesting. There were some people who were like, oh, I'm so exhausted from 2017, I can't even get my head around 2018. There are others that already had some thoughts in mind about what they'd like to see take place in this year. And there are others who are like, I need to pray, I need to sort of reflect and think about what God wants me to do for the year ahead. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Whilst it's just one day ticking over to a new day, or one date ticking over to a new date, there is something about the ticking over to a new year that gives us all permission. This is a wonderful time of the year. I'm presuming that, you know, maybe most of us are on holidays or maybe just come off holidays. This is a time where we almost come off the treadmill of life, we press pause. And because we're sort of in holiday mode and relax mode, we give ourselves permission to reflect. We give ourselves permission to even dream and to think about what's working in my life or what's not working in my life. What do I want to see for the year that's coming ahead? What decisions do I need to make? And we call those New Year's resolutions, whether they're small decisions or big decisions. Now, I know there are some interesting stats out there about New Year's resolutions, and they're pretty dismal. The fact is that we don't always achieve our New Year's resolutions. But the mere fact that we want to make them says something about the fact that we have a desire. We have a desire to see change. We have a desire to see something come to pass, to see something fulfilled. There is desire in us. And that's what I want to talk about here this morning. Desire is powerful. It shapes our future. It shapes who we become. And I want to say both positively and negatively. Desires are actually integral to how we've been designed as creative beings. You know, God desired, and because he desired, he created planet Earth, and he created us in his image. He had a desire, and he created out of that place. Desire is one of the key ways we hear from God, and it shapes our purpose, who we are, and who we'll become. Now, I want to distinguish the difference between desires and sort of surface wants, because I think sometimes the things that we say we want, often if we peel it back, there's a deeper need or desire that we truly want. So, for example, I might say, I just want to go on a holiday. If I peel it back, what I may be truly needing is rest. And rest can come in myriads of different ways. It doesn't always have to come in the way of just a holiday, although I do love holidays. So often our desires speak to a greater need or a greater want, not just mere surface things that we think we need to have. And this time of the year, I think, is a wonderful time because we've got that time to ponder with God. We've got some space that we can sort of mull in. And so this morning I want to talk about desires, how we can identify them and how we can actually make them a reality in our life. And we're going to unpack a very well-known gospel story. So if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to open up to Mark 10. And the story is about a poor beggar by the name of Bartimaeus. We're going to pick it up from verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. It's a great story, and it's one that I saw some truths. The Holy Spirit highlighted some truths out of this story for me, which I want to share with you this morning, particularly on the topic of desire. And the first point that I want to make this morning is desires need to be illuminated. You know, the Bible doesn't actually say how long Bartimaeus was blind for. He may have been born blind, or maybe he lost his sight somewhere along his journey. But regardless, a desire was switched on or illuminated in Bartimaeus where he wanted to see. Desire actually requires us to see with our spiritual eyes first, to imagine the possibilities before they're actually a reality. It takes light. You know, I don't think it's by chance that the very first recorded words of God in the Bible was, "Let there be light." When the Spirit of God was hovering over the world and was only void and darkness, the first words he said was, "Let there be light." Light enables us to see. What do you see for 2018? Are your desires clearly illuminated? Or are they a bit hazy? Is there even just darkness? Do you need the light switched on? A couple of ways you can switch that light on is found in Psalm 37. Now, Psalm 37, if you've been around Christianity long enough, most people love to quote the latter part of verse 4. But it's actually in verse 3 and 4 that gives us some key truths on how we can switch on the light. And this is what it says: "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires." Now, most of us, if we're honest enough, say, "Oh, God wants to give me all my heart's desires." And we kind of assume by that, you know, everything we want, God will just give. Like he's some kind of genie that we just need to rub the right way, and out he comes, and he will just grant us all our needs and wants. That's not actually what this scripture is talking about. It does not mean that we get everything we want. Some of the key words in this scripture is trust and take delight. If we're trusting in God and delighting in God, something begins to happen on the inside of us. When we're trusting in God, it's like we take his hand, we give ourselves to him, and we trust him to lead us where we need to go. I love to think of the analogy of a couple dancing on a dance floor. There's a lead partner taking the other right across the dance floor. One person doesn't know where the other one is going. They're just completely submitted and surrendered to the steps. So whilst one person might like to go over here, the other person knows where to go. Trust is much like that. We're flexible and trusting in God's goodness, first and foremost, and trusting his character, that he knows what's best for us. Bartimaeus placed his trust in Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. In amongst that crowd, he identified Jesus' true identity as the coming Messiah. He called him the Son of David. He knew who he was. And he knew something about the character of God to know that he would be open to the poor and disadvantaged, which is why he called out to him for mercy. Delighting in God is the next step. Delighting in God means we're enjoying being in relationship with him. And that's first and foremost too, that we actually enjoy being in God's presence. You know, there's nothing worse when someone only wants to be with you for what you can give them, but they're not really wanting to be with you. God wants to enjoy him. He wants it to be a two-way mutual relationship. I was reading, we started the new Bible reading devotion, the Story Bible Reading Plan. So if you haven't got one of these, I encourage you to pick one up at the back. But I was doing yesterday's reading, or this weekend's reading, and it was focused on Genesis 5. And as I opened Genesis 5, I went, oh, great, it's a genealogy. Now, genealogies are enlightening, but as, you know, because they kind of read a bit the same. This person had this many sons and daughters and lived for this many years and then died. And then this person had this many sons and daughters and on it goes. And I was just kind of reading it through, and it was the genealogy from Adam way through to Noah. And like, I'm reading it through and going, okay, Lord, what am I going to get out of this? And then I saw it. There was one line that read completely different to every other person that was listed from Adam to Noah. And it was this one line: Enoch walked with God. And because he walked with God, he was taken away by God and did not experience death. Wow. If you jump to Hebrews 11, it says that God was so pleased with Enoch. Why? Because he walked with him. We're designed to walk with God. That's how it was from the very beginning. Before sin, before the fall of the world, we were designed to enjoy the presence of God, to delight ourselves in him. And when we do that, what starts to happen is that God starts to plant his desires in our heart, and we start to want the same things that God wants. That is how the light switches on, of true God-given desires. So if you're wondering if what you're desiring is from God, ask yourself the question, am I trusting and delighting myself in God? And if you are and the light's still not on, then ask him to switch on the light for anything that may be dormant. Once that desire is illuminated and it's clear, the next step is expressing it. Desire needs expression. Here is Bartimaeus, a blind man, sitting on the side of the road. Can I just say, it should be fairly obvious what he wants. But Jesus asks him a question. Really, Jesus, what do you want me to do for you? Shouldn't you know what he wants? And aren't we like that sometimes? God, you're all-knowing. You know everything. You know what I want. I don't need to ask you for it. But no, no. Jesus asks Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? And Jesus never asks a question for his benefit. He asks it for our benefit. When you think about it, Bartimaeus could have actually answered that question in multiple ways. He could have said, well, I'm poor. Jesus, can I have some money? He could have said, Jesus, I would like a home so I don't sleep out on the streets at night. He could have said, Jesus, I would like a family that is around me and cares for me, a community. He didn't ask for any of those things. What he identified as his true desire was to have his sight restored so he could be set free from his disability. And that is important. That's important for us to identify what it is that we truly want and to be able to express it. Matthew 7 says, in verses 7 to 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, it's one thing to have a desire in here or in here, and that's where it stays. And that's kind of safe. But unfortunately, that's where it stays. It doesn't shift. For us to step into the reality of that desire, we need to express it. And we first need to express it to God. One of my simple prayers that I pray to God when once I know a desire has been clearly illuminated in me, I say to God, God, if this is in line with what you have for me, then just open that door or shut it. And one of the ways for me to know whether that door is opened or shut is to then express it to someone else. Now, expressing it to someone else, to people around us, requires wisdom. We all need wisdom in whom we share our desires with. Joseph in the Bible had a dream, had a desire to rule over people, but he lacked a lot of wisdom in whom he shared it with. He went to his brothers, and he thought his brothers would be, you know, cheering him on, but his brothers despised him already because of the way their father treated him as a favorite son. And if you know the story, the brothers then, you know, sold him into slavery. Expressing your desire is risky business. It opens us up to other people's opinions and thoughts. It's actually a testing time whether our desire is just a mere good idea or a God idea. It's a testing time to see whether some legs gets on this thing, whether it starts to form. It goes from conception to actually starting to be developed. So you need to express your desire to people that you trust and who have spiritual maturity. And I believe God uses other people in the fulfillment of that desire because it's not just about us. It's also about other people in the process. Many of you might know of a course that we run here called the One Course, and it's designed for single people to find their God-given purpose in whether singleness is a season or whether it's for the rest of their life. And part of that is also to lift any shame that may surround singleness. Now, the idea of this was conceived several years ago. I was sitting in the front rows of a marriage seminar we had here with Mark Gungor. And as I was listening to what Mark had to share about marriage, I just heard the Spirit of God say to me, "What about singles?" And I was sitting there pondering, and I'm thinking, yeah, well, what about singles? Well, what do we give to singles to live out their life well? Well, that took me on a little journey as I started to ponder and pray that through with God. The next step was, okay, God, if you're showing me something here, for, you know, what do we have? We don't have courses for single people. I started to think about it, and then I expressed it to my pastors, and then I expressed it to a couple of people to see whether this idea would have some legs. Was this just an idea or God idea? And I started to get confirmation. This is an idea. And then people wanted to join me in the writing of the course. And then 2 years ago, we implemented the course here, and we've run the course for 2 years in a row for both women and men. See, when you express an idea or a desire to someone else, you find other people come along on the journey. And, you know, it opens us up to accountability as well, because none of us are designed to be lone rangers. It allows us to shape that thing, to make sure that we are wise in the process, that we have discernment. You see, that is the reason why Jesus needed Bartimaeus to express his desire. Not so it just merely stayed in his mind, but that it was out and he truly knew what he wanted. Are you able to express to God your desire and to others? Desires need to be expressed. But often this is where we come to terms with whether our desire matches our determination. And this is my final point. Desire drives determination. I would love it if everything I desired, all I need to do was express it and voila, it happened. But the reality is, and we all probably know, that's not always the case. We need some determination in seeing those desires fulfilled. How much do you want to see that desire fulfilled? How determined are you? When we truly desire something, we go after it. And you know, Bartimaeus went after it. He yelled out to Jesus. And I think about the fact that he yelled out. He didn't yell out just once. He yelled out several times. And people were telling him to be quiet. He was a nuisance. You know, I think about maybe what if he had a poor self-image? What if he said, I'm not worthy to be even looked at or stopped at. I'm not worthy for Jesus to talk to me. What if he didn't push through his comfort zone? I don't think he would have received his sight that day. He pushed through. He was determined. He pushed through his disability. He pushed through his social positioning in society. He pushed through to get what he wanted. How strongly do you desire that thing? How determined are you? Does it match? And often our desires require hard work. Little decisions after little decisions that we make. And we start to realize there's a cost to our desires. There's a cost of maybe some long suffering, some longevity. And the problem with that in our current world, we're into instant. The culture of today is we want things immediately and instantaneously, and that doesn't always work for the things that we want. We read Bartimaeus' story and we go, he just immediately got his sight. But you know what? We don't know the backstory to Bartimaeus. We don't know how many years he maybe have cried out to God. He knew God. For him to be able to identify Jesus, something had already started working in him. Much like the woman with the issue of blood, we look at her story. There was 12 years of her with this infirmity of losing blood. She went to many physicians, but then there was a day when she pushed through and touched Jesus' garment and she was healed. It didn't happen instantaneously. It happened over many years of pressing in. And then she received what she desired, of making little decisions of not giving up, just little decisions that God shows on the journey to do this. Much like the dance floor that I was saying, you go here, here. You just allow him to lead you where he wants to take you. Unfortunately, so many of our resolutions go unfulfilled because our desire doesn't match our determination. We give up too soon. We don't realize that our desires come with one small decision after another. And if you don't believe me, maybe you will take the wise words of this little girl on this video.
I have a problem with New Year's resolutions, not because they often fail or because they're too difficult, and not because I'm bad at them either. I mean, I've only been alive for 4 New Years. No, I have a problem with resolutions because people think that that's it. It's for one time to change. Now, don't get me wrong, we definitely all need change. I have no idea how to ride a bicycle and my little brother has no idea what a toilet is for. And some of you, you probably should get out of the house more. But one big decision probably isn't going to do it. Sorry. So now what? Flush your resolutions down the toilet for one my little brother can't use? Of course not. Keep your resolutions, but go easy on yourself. Will you change? Maybe, but probably won't happen in one big moment. It'll happen in thousands of little moments. Every time you choose to forgive or slow down or be grateful or stay calm, each little moment that you choose what's right instead of what's easy, faith instead of doubt, love instead of hate, that's where the change happens. Even if you fail 1 or 2 or 30 times, it's okay. You've got thousands of more little moments ahead of you. You'll get better. So Happy New Year, God bless, and I'm off to ask my dad to get a bike, even though or a pony. Bye!
Isn't she gorgeous? And I had this revelation last night when I played it. I went, okay, I know it's kind of scripted, but she can read that script at 4 years of age. Pretty amazing. I love it. So little decisions help us to reach that desire. Now, often we say it's about the journey, not just the destination. And there's a good reason for that, because God wants to do something in and through us on the way to our desires. It's not just about arriving to that desire. It's about the work that's going in on us, happening in us. Now, the flip side of this, of course, is when we focus so much on the desire, we're so determined to see that thing take place, that we lose sight of the one who's given us the desire in the first place. And we strive. We strive to make that thing happen, and we do it in our own strength. And we often birth things not at the right time. Much like an Ishmael, if you want to read the story about Adam and Sarah and how they birthed an Ishmael in Genesis. We don't want to birth Ishmaels. We don't want to try and do things in our own strength. We need to be able to go back to that place where we're trusting in God, in His leading us, to reach to where we need to go. And not losing sight of the one who gave us the desire in the first place. You know, Paul understood this when he said in Philippians 3:12, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. We don't want to lose Christ Jesus in the process of getting to where we want to go. So as you think about the year ahead and what you desire, think about how determined you are to see that thing desire and whether you're walking with God in the process of seeing that thing come to fruition. I want to wrap up this morning by saying that we have an incredible privilege, and that is God has not finished creating. He is still in the business of creating, and He calls us into partnership with the ongoing creation of the world. There are things still to be discovered. There are things to be solved. There are things to put into place to bring healing and restoration and to bring people to Him. That's exciting. And He's calling each and every one of us to be a part of that process. Every single one of us are called to create. And I want to encourage you in this particular period of time where you may have a little bit more space than usual to really reflect on what He's calling you to do this year, to step out into this year. And I believe just as Jesus posed the same question to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? He's asking the same question to us. And so right now, I'd like to take advantage of the opportunity to stop. And we're going to create a space right now where we're just going to be in silence and hear from God. And be comfortable with silence. Don't get awkward with it. We're going to sit and we're going to ask God to illuminate just maybe one desire that you can step out into or believe for this year. So let's do that right now. Okay, you can open your eyes. Did God give anything to anyone? Any desire illuminated for you? If you want to raise your hands. Yeah, great. For those who maybe didn't raise your hands, sometimes if something's not illuminated to you, the blockage to that can often be disappointment. And especially if you have desired something and it hasn't come to pass and you've experienced disappointment in that area. I do know a little bit about that, and I think what happens when you're disappointed is that you stop asking God for things, you stop believing for things, and I don't believe God wants to keep you in that place. And so I would be honoured right now, if anyone finds themselves in that place, I'd be honoured just to pray into that right now. So is there anyone here, if you would be bold enough just to raise your hand, if that might be you, Yeah, thank you. I see your hands. Yeah, great. Well, those who raise their hands, if you could just lay people around them, if you can just lay a hand right now, and we're just going to pray. Father God, I thank you for the courage of those who raise their hands. This is a safe place. This is a family. And Lord, you see the pain and the disappointment that has come in. And Lord, I invite you, Holy Spirit, right now to just minister in that area, that you would begin to heal those areas, Lord, where there's been deep disappointment and hurt, where we've expected certain things and they haven't come to pass. Lord, would you just release? Would you bring healing and comfort right now? Would you take that disappointment away and replace it with hope? Your word says that hope does not disappoint. Lord, I pray right now that you would lift their heads to see what you see, because your plans are good. They are for a hope and a future. So let us see, Lord, what you see. Begin to speak into those areas. Begin to turn the light again, Lord God, so they can see what you see. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.